The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, a big thank you, big shout out to Morehouse College. It is HBCU Wednesday. They're going to be joining us in and out of the show, giving us a peek into their campus lifestyle and what's going on at Morehouse. And I want to ask what's going on to everybody here. Thanks for joining us. It is First Take. It is Wednesday. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got Max Kellerman. We got Kendrick Perkins in the house stepping in for Stephen A. He'll be here in just a little bit. And guys, we have a
scowling
lot
already.
To get to. The Nets had a big... Already, look at this blue suit that Kendrick Perkins has showed up in.
There he is.
Why aren't you wearing a blue suit, Max? Okay, guys.
Blue suit?
We are going to get it started. The Nets had a big... Blue Suit Wednesday. That's what we're going to call it. All right, guys. James Harden setting it off last night. He was on fire. The Nets were visiting the Suns. They were considered the underdogs with both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving out. And it looked to play out that way at the break. But then James Harden heated up, helping Brooklyn to pull off one of the most impressive comebacks of the season, winning 128-124. James Harden ended the game with 38 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, moving the Nets into sole position of the number 2 spot in the Eastern Conference. So, Max, did James Harden... Yeah, Max, did James Harden prove with his performance last night that he is the most important factor of the big three?
He did, but Perk, I heard you call me out. What's up? You have something to say?
No, go ahead. Do your thing. Do your thing right quick. I want to hear what you got to say, Max.
Okay.
Go ahead and handle your business. I want to hear this.
The answer is yes. Harden is the key. And let me be very clear. I am in no way saying he is better than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the best player on the team. But Harden's the key to the big three. He is. Let's rewind this. Remember when the trade took place? Harden was playing himself out of Houston, right? He wasn't even in the lineup, and he wasn't playing well before he left. And he was throwing the team. Like, it looked just bad for Harden. And everyone knew why he was doing it. He's trying to force his way out of town, and it worked. He shows up in Brooklyn. Perk, how many times have I said it? Fat, looking like he just rolled out of bed, looking like a hot mess. And what'd he do? Rolled out of bed. No Kyrie at the time. Kyrie wasn't playing at the time. It was Harden and KD, and started killing them. They started winning right away, as though they never missed a beat, as though they've been playing together this whole time. Harden, when he got to the team, was the guy who was going to have to sacrifice the most. I knew that from the beginning. It wasn't going to be Kyrie. It was going to be Harden. And what has Harden done? You know what it reminds me of, Perk? When I was a kid, I used to hear stories, because I was born in 73. The Knicks won the championship January 73. I was born in August, last time they won a title. And I would hear stories of Earl the Pearl Monroe coming to the Knicks, right? And Earl the Pearl Monroe, back then known as Black Jesus, if you want to YouTube Earl the Pearl, he would be giving guys the business today. Today, he was nasty. And the whole thing was, there's only one ball. How are they going to share this backcourt, these two guys? But Earl the Pearl wanted to be great. Clyde Frazier already had a ring. He wanted to be great. And so it worked fine. They won the championship together. How are they going to work this? What's going to happen? James Harden has given up shots until they needed him to score last night. He's done everything that he's needed to do. His judgment with the ball and his court vision setting up teammates has been extraordinary. And he is the key to this offense.
All right, and Stephen A. Smith now here on First Take. So, Stephen A., we're asking the question right now, with James Harden's dynamic performance last night, scoring 38 points, helping them to get that comeback victory, is he now considered the most important factor of the big three?
No, he's not. He's great. He showed it last night. He reminded us of what he can do when he doesn't have a big two to go along with him. But the key component in all of this is Kevin Durant. When you talk about the Brooklyn Nets and being title contenders or legitimately winning the chip, it's not going to happen without KD. KD can win a chip potentially with Kyrie. KD can win a chip potentially with James Harden. KD could definitely win a chip with the both of them. neither of them are winning it without him. That's the bottom line. If Kyrie and Harden were the cornerstones of this franchise, we wouldn't be talking about the Nets winning the championship. We'd be talking about them being a contender, but we'd have legitimate arguments as to whether as to why they wouldn't even come out of the Eastern Conference. That's the difference. Now, that's not to diminish what James Harden is giving you in any way. James Harden is a superstar in this league. He's fresh off of averaging over 30 the last 3 years. He's captured the league MVP. We know how electrifying offensively he is. And what he's been doing this year is unbelievable because he's as selfless as they come. He's highlighting the fact that he can be selfless. He hasn't been given enough credit for it. He is the best point guard on the team and might be the best point guard in basketball right now, the way that he's been playing and running the show for the Brooklyn Nets. But in the end, what it comes down to is you ain't getting but so far and you ain't doing but so much unless you have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the key to the Nets' big three. Without him, it doesn't work.
I'm going to say this, and I respectfully disagree, and both of you guys came up with great points, but the key to this team, to the big three, is Kyrie Irving. We already know what we're going to get out of Kevin Durant. We know the efficiency, and he's going to put the ball in the basket at a high efficiency level. We know that James Harden could also put the ball in the basket, but also make guys around him better and lead the league in assists, as you just alluded to, Stephen A., the best point guard on that team and probably the best point guard in the league right now. But when you talk about Kyrie Irving, he is going to be the deciding factor in all this. And here's why. He has one job, and that job is to go out there and be that guy to get buckets. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the defense is so horrendous and so terrible that they're going to have to beat a lot of teams and win a lot of series on the offensive end. And if Kyrie Irving don't have those monster nights and don't shoot at a high efficiency level, then the Brooklyn Nets are not going anywhere. They need Kyrie Irving to be the Kyrie Irving that we have been witnessing this season, arguably having the best season of his career, especially efficiency-wise. So when I look at the key to the big three, I strongly believe that it's Kyrie Irving that's going to be the deciding factor whether or not they win the championship.
I think it's James Harden. Look, Kyrie is freed up now, guys. Kyrie is freed up. When he said, you're the point guard, I'm the off guard, it freed Kyrie up to score. No one's going to stop Kyrie Irving from scoring when he doesn't have to especially worry about running the offense, because Kyrie has some court vision and obviously can pass, but not court vision that James Harden has. And James Harden shows better judgment with the ball. I mean, when you think about the responsibility of Harden in this offense, and I really believe you take anyone off this team, they're not going to win a championship. But all three, they can, and they very well might even this year if they can get the defense together. Harden is the guy asked to change. He's the guy asked to give up shots. And last night, talk about judgment, he's the guy hunting mismatches and pick and rolling them to death in the second half. Of course, you know, used to D'Antoni, Steve Nash, D'Antoni on the bench. Pick and rolling them to death in the second half, showing that judgment and court vision, never mind scoring ability. He was the guy who from day one made it work with KD, and then after a couple weeks figured it out with Kyrie. He's the glue guy. He's the guy who holds it all together.
Well, like I said, not only am I making the argument that I make, but I'm gonna come at you, Big Perk, with this. I think that you're looking at it from a negative perspective, and I'm looking at it from a positive perspective. You're thinking about Kyrie. He could be great on a positive level, or he could be destructive because something might happen to him emotionally and he might not want to play or something along those lines. So it could go either way, which makes him a key. I'm saying it, what makes Kevin Durant the key is that nothing works without KD. You could be as positive as you want to be with Kyrie and James Harden, or negative. It don't matter. Without Kevin Durant, it does not work. But with Kevin Durant, everything could potentially work and everything could potentially be overcome. Think about this with James Harden for a second here, guys. When we talk about how explosive Kyrie can be, both of you acknowledge how explosive. Anybody with two eyes can see how explosive Kyrie can be. He's a superstar. He's box office. You walk through the turnstiles to see the kind of show that he can put on. But if something happened to Kyrie, You trying to tell me that James Harden can't pick up that slack? Oh, yes, he can. He can pick up that slack. He most certainly can. Nobody can pick up the slack that KD leaves behind. That's where I'm coming from with it.
Well, he's the best player.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. And I'm not arguing that James Harden is not the best facilitator. My thing is that if you're talking about the Brooklyn Nets winning the championship, we're looking at Kyrie Irving, and I'm not talking about what he's doing off the court or positive or negative. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving producing at a high level, because when Kyrie Irving was out, our whole thing, our whole conversation was that how he's going to fit when he comes back, who's going to be the Batman, who's going to be the Robin. Kyrie Irving came back, and not only has he been playing phenomenal basketball, but he has been taking over four quarters when the big three has been healthy. If last time I checked, when the big three has been on the court and the game get close in the fourth quarter, majority of the time the ball has been in Kyrie Irving's hands, and he has been delivering. That's all I'm saying. He is the key.
And I'm saying to you, they won't win if that continues. Kyrie can average 40, but if he's taking double the amount of shots of James Harden, and he's the one with the ball in his hands and late in the games and fourth quarters at the expense of a Kevin Durant, that is not a winning formula. It has to go through KD to win the chip. To win
you
the
make
chip.
Sure you
That's
fix your attitude. I know you out there in L.A., but you fix your attitude this morning.
But you don't
I know
tell me what to do. What do you mean fix my attitude?
He's
you better watch
LA
your
vibe.
Mouth. You better watch your mouth, Big Perk. I don't care. What do you think you're scary? What are you talking about? I'm going to fix my attitude. My attitude actually is very, very fine. I'm in L.A. I mean, I'm very good. if we want to be clear
okay.
about it. You know? You the one freezing up
Absolutely.
In Texas.
Absolutely. Stephen A., we like it. Guys, listen, as of last night, James Harden posted his 7-30-point game in a 20-point comeback win. That is two more than any other player in the past 25 seasons, so we got to give him his props for it last night. Now, look, All-Star Game coming up. James Harden probably going to be leading in those votes, but All-Star Game, as we know, going to look a little bit different this year. It's going down in ATL during the first weekend in March, but Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has made it clear people should not come to party due to COVID concerns. Now, this is already on top of the fact that players like LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis have already spoken out about having the game in the midst of a pandemic, also just a really packed and busy season. So, Stephen A., should the All-Star Game just be canceled this year?
Believe it or not, I'm of that mindset right now. I do feel that way. I'm not happy about having to say that because I support the NBA and its players and everything that they try to do, but they're not on the same page with this. Clearly, the players don't want this game, and clearly the league feels compelled to do so for monetary reasons. So you can look at it from that perspective, understanding that the league collectively bargained to have this kind of power, that it's really not a choice of the NBA. Chris Paul and those guys, everybody's been pointing the finger at the Players Association as if they've agreed to this. No, they have no choice. It's been collectively bargained, and as a result, they can negotiate stipulations and things of that nature to make sure safety protocol and safety measures are exercised and things of that nature. But the bottom line is they don't have any say as to whether or not there's going to be an All-Star game. The league has say over that, and obviously they're trying to appease the networks to some degree. We get all of that. But here's the reality. The players and the league are not on the same accord in this regard. And now we have local government officials speaking out against this game taking place. When you see Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, all right, speak out and talk about how she has concerns. She's spoken to the league and et cetera, and she knows that they're going to do that, but you're encouraging people not to come to Atlanta. You're encouraging people not to party and things of that nature, not to have a festive kind of atmosphere, mm-hmm. which we totally understand, and is a very responsible thing for her to do on her part. If you're the NBA, you're standing alone on an island here. You're flying guys in the night before on private jets and things of that nature. They come in to have a game, the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest, whatever, with no fans in attendance. Remember, the weekend is supposed to be for the fans to celebrate the athletes and the athletes to celebrate with the fans in a star-studded weekend gala. That's really what it's supposed to be. How does that happen without the fans? I don't see that, and I just think that there's too much noise that's been made about this, and it might behoove them to just decide not to have the All-Star game. That's just my feelings on it right now.
Well, Stephen A., Stephen A., I started out disagreeing with you about this, even before the show. But one thing I've considered has actually changed my mind, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here, and I want to tell you the one consideration, why I agree with you. The reason I agree with you is because what occurred to me, probably too late in this game thinking about it, was this is not like, well, they're playing games all over the place. What's the difference? The difference is from 30 different cities, from 30 different teams, people are going to be there, and then they're all going to go back to those places. So it creates a situation where the game can be a vector for the disease in a different way, for COVID, in a different way than a normal NBA game or even a playoff game could be in the absence of a bubble. And that may be the deciding factor for me, especially since the players don't seem to have any enthusiasm for it. But now I want to play devil's advocate because with the exception of that thought, the fact that they all come together and then they all go back. So if anyone has it with, you know, and it spreads, it's spreading everywhere. And we're in the middle of a pandemic still. But here's the devil's advocate position. And I think it's persuasive with the exception of what I just said. The All-Star game, you can talk about festivities all you want. The Atlanta mayor didn't say don't have the game. She said don't travel to the game. And for the media, a lot of the time, and the players, the people involved in the festivities, I think, and whatever fans are there, I don't want to dismiss that, but whoever's live there, it feels like that's what it's all about this weekend. But in fact, it's a TV show. The vast majority of people participating in it from a consumer point of view, consuming it, watching it, are watching it on television. It's a TV show. And the NBA is dealing right now in a pandemic where interest in sports broadly has diminished because there have been bigger things going on in the world. Here is a chance for the league to showcase its greatest talents. And yes, if they're showing no enthusiasm for it, that's bad. But hopefully they would. Hopefully they would actually participate in the festivities, so to speak, on TV. Because as a TV show, I enjoy watching it. I like watching the slam dunk contest, three-point contest, the All-Star game, right? Like the game itself. It's a fun. It's not the greatest event of all time. It's not the NBA Finals, but it's a fun, you know, a television show to watch in the absence of other stuff on, especially. And since the league needs it right now, and we're talking about, as you said, Stephen A., everyone's flying in on private jets and then flying back out again. To me, that is a really good case for playing this game and boosting the league.
Well, I think it's a stupid idea, and I think that the NBA really dropped the ball on this one for a number of reasons. One is obviously we're in a pandemic, okay, and the league is struggling to keep games going in the regular season. We just had a game get postponed last night because of the pandemic and the virus, and guys are having to sit out. So that's one thing. The second thing, the league is breaking the trust that they was developing with the Players Association and the players. If we go back and look at what happened in the bubble, it was a beautiful thing to see with me, how the Players Association and Adam Silver and the NBA were coming together to make things happen, being on the same page. It was something that I never seen in my 14 years of playing. And now something that I never seen with me being on the other side is how they came together hand in hand to work things out. And so before the season started, the NBA told the players that they was not going to have an All-Star weekend and that they were going to have this time to take off. And now you break that trust because you pop this on them at the spur of the moment and said, oh, yeah, we have an All-Star weekend. It breaks the trust. So just when the NBA and the Players Association was taking three steps forward, I think now they're taking two steps backwards again because the trust has been broken.
Yeah, this might have been a really good year to probably not play that game. The last time they didn't play was 1999. That was because of the lockout. Now, Perk, you're going to be back with us in a bit. There was a lot to digest in this conversation, so we are going to revisit it later on in the show.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In celebration of Black History Month, First Take continues our HBCU Wednesdays tour. And our final stop next week, we're checking out Jackson State University and checking in with their new football coach, primetime himself, Deion Sanders. So join us right here on First Take as we recognize Black History Month. And as we continue to spotlight HBCU Wednesdays here on First Take, we celebrate Morehouse College, founded in 1867, the world's only historically Black liberal arts college dedicated to educating and developing men. A program that graduated civil rights leader and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., seen here in the center, a true American icon. And meanwhile, in the NFL, according to our Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen, the Texans have no intention of trading Deshaun Watson. But what if the offer is just too good to pass up? The Panthers are the latest team to express interest and, from the sound of it, are willing to go all in. Panthers reporter David Newton gave his perspective yesterday on NFL Live.
Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, and that includes giving up 3 first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, owner David Tepper wants to win a Super Bowl. He's made that clear. He understands it takes a marquee quarterback to do that. Now, if you look at recent history outside of Patrick Mahomes, the quickest way to do that is to trade for a marquee quarterback and not draft one in the first round. Just ask Tampa Bay.
Okay, Max, if it's offered, should the Texans take the Panthers' deal?
No, they shouldn't. And let me first say that David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, is right on the money here. Like, I take my hat off to him. They were good when he bought them, right? When he took over, they had a good coach and a good quarterback in Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. He said, yeah, we're good. I want to be great. I want to see if we can't do better. And he sees Deshaun Watson. He's like, I don't care. We need to do everything we can to get Deshaun. My hat's off to him. It's the right idea. But I don't think the deal is going to be the best deal they're offered, Stephen A. 3 firsts and Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey is an amazing player. And he's more than just a running back, but that is the position he plays. And you have to be careful when you overpay for running backs, both in terms of draft capital and contracts you give him. He's coming off a big injury, and he has a big contract. So that's one of the things you're getting back. And then you're getting 3 firsts. Well, is that the best offer they're going to get? Stephen A., you know what Miami can offer them? Miami's picking 3rd and 18th in the first round this year. And they have Tua Tagovailoa, who, were he coming out of the draft this year, would probably be the 2nd quarterback taken, I think. And then they have a draft, you know, first rounder next year. The Jets, Stephen A., have 2 firsts this year and 2 firsts next year. And 2/3 this year. The Jets and the Dolphins are going to be in a position to offer the Texans a better deal than the one currently on the table, apparently, from the Panthers. So I don't think the Texans should take this one.
I'm not going to say no definitively. I get where you're coming from, and for the most part, I agree with you if that were the case. But we don't know what the Jets are willing to offer, what the Miami Dolphins are willing to offer. We hear a lot of noise, but we don't know. And if I'm the Houston Texans, I have to listen. And here's why I have to listen, Max, because not only does that those 3 first-round picks includes the number 8 overall pick coming up in this draft, but it also includes Christian McCaffrey. And we have to remember what a stud this brother is. He is something special. He, make no mistake about it. And when you have a guy like him that's an all-world back, he's not a one-dimensional player. He can run. He can catch passes out of the backfield. You know what I'm saying? You could put him in a slot. He could make things happen. This brother is that gifted. Christian McCaffrey is an NFL star. Let's not forget that. And when I look at it from that perspective, and I'm talking about getting three picks along with him, certainly if you're the New York Jets and you offer something when you've got the number two overall pick, that changes things. Certainly if you're the Miami Dolphins, all right, with the year that they've had, they're on a come up. You've got a high picks to offer as well. Not to mention Tua Tagovailoa, if you wanted to throw him in there. Yeah, I got to think about that, and that's probably better. But barring that, I don't know if I can get much better than what the Carolina Panthers may be in a position to offer me. I think the hiccup is that, remember, Deshaun Watson's got a no-trade clause, and he has to sign off on these things, just like Houston does. And I don't know if he'd sign off on Carolina, but if he were to be willing to do that, I would certainly consider that if I'm the Houston Texans, because Christian McCaffrey is a part of that deal.
You know, the thing is, the Panthers were, you know, it's been reported, like, and people have speculated, what would it take for Carolina to trade up to grab Miami's number three pick, right? They would do the second rounder, next year's first rounder, because then they could grab a quarterback, Zach Wilson or whomever, that they really like. So that draft capital, because they have the eighth pick, which is good, but obviously not as good as the third, that draft capital would be spent just to get that their quarterback, who knows if he'll ever be half as good as Deshaun Watson. But Miami is sitting there with the third overall pick already. And the thing about the no trade that you bring up, Stephen A., is usually if you're Deshaun Watson, you're like, I don't want to go to that team. They stink. That's why they're drafting third overall. But the Dolphins are kind of loaded. The Dolphins are a really good team. They have the third pick because of a trade. So they're unlike the Jets. They're not a moribund franchise, as you would say, right? They are a strong, rising franchise in a warm weather state, right? You bring up the fact.
With no state income taxes.
In a league without African-American coaches and GMs. And there's... just keep ticking it off with no state income tax. Why would he not say, yeah, with a no trade clause, yeah, I want to be traded there? And the fact that they got the number three pick and the QB, who'd probably be the second one taken, and more draft capital, it just seems to me like what really the Texans have to do is find out, do the Dolphins want to trade for Deshaun Watson? Because if they do, you got to say no to the Panthers. They can't offer you as much.
Here's the biggest reason you should say no to the Panthers if you were going to say no. You should say no to the Panthers if you're Deshaun Watson. Maybe not the Houston Texans, but definitely if you're Deshaun Watson. Here's why. Because I want to go and play with Christian McCaffrey. I don't want to arrive there at the expense of him leaving. That's really the biggest problem. You want Christian McCaffrey there with you, and that's not going to work. So, again, I'm not disagreeing. I think that the Jets and the Miami Dolphins are in a much better position to offer a better deal than the Carolina Panthers. I'm just saying we're not hearing that definitively that they're going to make those offers, particularly if you're the Miami Dolphins. And if that's not what the situation is, then I got to leave my options open if I'm the Texans. And three first-round picks plus Christian McCaffrey is not a bad deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're looking at it from the Texans' perspective, Christian McCaffrey is one of only three players to record 1,000 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. Also a really likable guy, maybe someone that Houston can get behind now that they lost Watt. Also maybe Watson. And also, guys, Olivia Culpo is his girlfriend, all right? To me, that's a win. You get her in the stands during games.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
All right, we've been talking about it for a while now. Carson Wentz's future is still up in the air, and while several potential landing spots have already been named, we can't rule out the possibility that he stays in Philly. Keep in mind, Wentz is owed a $10 million roster bonus next month, with the Eagles will likely still need to pay in order to get maximum compensation for their now backup quarterback. Here's former Eagles quarterback Ron Jaworski on KJZ yesterday.
If you ask me just on a pure talent perspective, I think it's Carson Wentz, but that is not how this has played out. It has not been about pure talent. You know, for 4 years, Carson was having a great career. Year five was just the opposite. He had a bad year last year. You can't sugarcoat the season he had. But I believe that he has tremendous God-given talent that I think he still has a bright future. And then when you throw Jalen Hurts into the picture, Jalen Hurts played well in four games, but I just don't think the sampling is big enough to say, yeah, Jalen Hurts should be the quarterback. I think at this point, hey, you know what? Go to camp. Let two guys battle it out. Isn't that what competitive sports is all about, professional sports is all about?
And you know we don't sugarcoat anything here on First Take. So, Max, what do you say? Is it smarter for the Eagles to keep or to trade Wentz?
Is this a trick question? Get rid of him if any sucker will take him. Look, you think it's an accident or a coincidence that the two teams we keep hearing about are Chicago and Indy, right? Why? Why is that? Because DeFilippo's in Chicago, his old quarterback's coach. He got promoted. He's the passing coordinator now, passing game coordinator. And Reich in Indy, who's, you know, also worked, was on that Doug Peterson coaching staff. Those are the only two teams that seem to be interested in Wentz right now, because both guys believe, DeFilippo and Reich, that they can get in there and get what's good out of it. But both guys reportedly have been talking about, we have to, you know, tear it all down and build the mechanics ground up. I warned everybody about this, and I disagree with Jaws. Look, he's forgotten more football than I'll ever know. I get it. But I really disagree with Jaws about Carson Wentz for 4 years had a great career. No, he didn't. 1 year. He was great. He was great 1 year. MVP conversation 1 year. The next year, he wasn't as good. He was still good, wasn't as good, and so on. And obviously, Stephen A., well-documented, not this past season, but the previous season, second half of the season, when everyone was like, oh, my God, Wentz is so great, what did I keep coming on this show and saying? He's not great. In fact, he's regressing. It was all the signs were there. I kept pointing it out. This year didn't happen in a vacuum. All of a sudden, boom, he was no good. It started, you could see it halfway through last year, decline, decline, decline. And instead of taking accountability, taking stock of himself, and working on the things he was screwing up, no, everyone was telling him how great he was. He believed they didn't do anything. And this year it got worse and worse and worse. And finally, he's obviously, everyone can finally tell what I've known since the middle of last year, he's no good. Now, even Pro Football Focus, Stephen A., had him 14th overall, not this past season, the season before. And the season before that, middle of the pack quarterback, right? This year, 31st. He was 31 out of 32. 31 out of 32. He's not good. And the kind of stuff he needs to build himself back up, it's a lot. Stephen A., even if he can't do it in Philly. Oh, no, can't do it in Philly. What's all the reporting coming out of Philly? It's not that the Eagles are blameless. It's that Carson Wentz also deserves a big part of the blame. There's hero worship, reportedly, in the Philly Inquirer around Carson Wentz. He had a direct line to the owner, it has been reported, right? He has too much power in the organization. He split the locker room. A lot of guys don't want him there. And Stephen A., what about this? The day that Jalen Hurts is starting for the first time as a pro, we're hearing leaks in the media. Carson Wentz has no interest in being a backup. If so, he wants a trade. Who has interest in being a backup? What do you mean? Of course he doesn't have interest. Of course he wants to start. But you leak that day of your backup getting the start? He undermines the team on top of it? Of course you want him out of there.
Max Kellerman, you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you why the Eagles would be smart to keep Carson Wentz for the moment. Because of you. you, Max Kellerman, are the reason that they should keep him for now. Because nobody has served to devalue Carson Wentz more than you. If anybody out there is listening to you, they wouldn't want Carson Wentz for a bag of chips. You understand what I'm saying? So giving them away now doesn't work to their benefit. They'll get nothing in return, okay? You got to let that die down. You got to wait till Max Kellerman goes on vacation, him and all of his analytics crew and everybody else in between. You got to make sure they disappear for a little bit while. Let them wait till they go on vacation. Wait till they're getting off the air. Wait till they stop talking about Carson Wentz. Let them fade from into the twilight just a little bit and then find the sucker to take them. That's what you got to do here. That's number one. Number two, Max Kellerman, in all seriousness. Number two, Max Kellerman, in all seriousness, let's take something else into consideration here. We can't just look at Carson Wentz. Do you understand that between the 50 that Carson Wentz suffered from, the 13 that Jalen Hurts suffered from, the 2 that Sudfeld suffered from, the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line gave up 65 sacks last season. Do you realize that? 65 sacks are on the books for the Philadelphia Eagles having surrendered that against their quarterback. So that's something to take into consideration, because if you're on suicide watch, how the hell can you throw the football? Then you got a running game with Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. Scott averaging 4.7 yards a carry. Miles Sanders averaging 5.3 yards a carry. How come you ain't giving the ball a run a little bit more? Particularly when Jalen Reagor, when Zach Ertz, when Goddard, all missed at least 5 games, okay? And Deshaun Jackson only played in 5 games. So you were bereft of the necessary weapons, one could easily argue as well. There's a lot of things that went into the Eagles stinking up the joint on the offensive side of the ball the way that they did. And it wasn't simply the quarterback player Carson Wentz. It was a lot. He had an awful year, and we get all of that. You can't absolve him. But there's so much more that goes into that. When you combine that with all the noise that's been made about him and how he has been so flagrantly devalued, even though to some degree that is of his doing, it is also of the doing of people like you. The fact of the matter is, it might be in their best interest. And last point about this, Max, Jalen Hurts, I want to remind everybody of this. The brother's got wheels. He's a tremendous athlete, and he can run with the football. He ran for more yards in 5 games, or 4 games rather, than Carson Wentz ran in 12. We get that. But the flip side is this. He was 1-3 as a starter, and he only completed 52% of his passes, which was worse than Carson Wentz. So we talk about Jalen Hurts like, oh, my God, he came in there looking like Dan Marino.
Yeah, they may have to draft another quarterback.
That's not the case.
Yep, they may have to draft another quarterback. It may be that was a bad idea to draft Hurts, but Wentz forced them into it with his play. And let me say this, Stephen A. I wouldn't be – first of all, the reason Wentz got sacked so much primarily because their pass block win rate on that Eagles offensive line was upper half of the league. The reason he got sacked so much, this is not Mahomes in the Super Bowl running for his life as soon as the ball is snapped, pressured constantly with only 4. This is Carson Wentz, who won't get rid of the ball. He held the ball way too long. His decision-making, his judgment was awful. He was like everything with Carson Wentz was
set,
wrong.
Hurts was sacked 13 times in 4 games. He didn't do that.
He was a rookie. He's a rookie. Like, and by the way, you're right, Hurt, but the offense looked better with Hurts. And he's a rookie who doesn't know what he's doing yet. And it looked better with Jalen Hurts than Carson Wentz. And insofar as me or people like me, are pulling the pulling the wagon in terms of Carson Wentz is no good, Carson Wentz is no good, Stephen A., he brings that upon himself, not just with his play, because I wouldn't be as hard on him with his play, but when I see things like Jalen Hurts is going to start his first career game, and now it comes out Carson Wentz is talking about, I have no interest in being a backup.
That's low.
I see so much behavior that I find as undermining to the team. Team looking at that, I'd be like, I don't know if I want that dude in the locker room.
Which is another reason why you got to hold on to him, because nobody's going to give up anything for him right now.
Yeah, low trade value
at this
moment. It's true.
Carson Wentz has earned his low trade value this past season. He was 28th out of 33 qualified passers in QBR. But let's not forget, guys, back in 2017, he led the league in QBR.